If you have your Bible, would you take it and turn to Matthew chapter 26? Matthew chapter 26. Today, on this first Sunday of the new year, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. Sometimes it's called the Lord's Supper. Sometimes it's called communion. Sometimes it's called the Eucharist. Various ways of describing what to us is the Lord's Supper. We usually have it on Sunday night, or we used to always have it on Sunday night, because you'd think if it's supper, it has to be at night. Although young people don't have a supper anymore, do they? They have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I don't know where supper went. My generation had breakfast, dinner, and supper. And that's the way it ought to be. It's supposed to be that way. And if it's not that way, it's wrong. But anyway, the younger generation changed it on us, like they've done a lot of things. And we no longer have a supper. So we'll just have the Lord's Supper here at lunchtime and call it the Lord's Supper. But in Matthew 26... there's the account of that first Last Supper, beginning there in verse 20 of Matthew 26. Now when the evening was come, Jesus sat down with the 12 disciples. And as they were eating, he said, "Verily I say unto you, one of you is going to betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful. And they began every one to say, "Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I?" I guess all 12 of them said, "Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, "Well, the one who dips his hand with me in the dish, the same is going to betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for him if he had never been born." Can you imagine Jesus saying that about somebody? Ooh. One of his chosen disciples, by the way. We know it was Judas. At the time, they didn't know who it was. The other disciples, they kept saying, "Is it me? Is it me? Is it I? Is it I?" And Jesus told them which one was going to betray him. And Judas, who betrayed Jesus, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" And he said, "You have said." Now, verse 26, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and said, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they all went out into the Mount of Olives. We've read that passage, Matthew, and Mark records it, and Luke as well. Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I was driving to Texarkana yesterday, and we went through Mineral Springs as we always do. And on the sign in front of the Central Baptist Church, where Brother Ben Jones is pastor, on the sign it said, for today... the scripture was Luke, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And the title of the sermon on the sign in front of the church house was Remember the Gift. Now, I didn't call Brother Ben and ask him what he was preaching on. I figured they're probably doing the Lord's Supper like most of us do on the first Sunday of the new year. But when the title was Remember the Gift, and I don't know what he was thinking there either, but I suspected he probably was thinking, we've just had Christmas, and the greatest gift given at Christmas was Jesus, and he was given to us to save us from our sins. And probably Brother Ben would be remembering the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ. And the Lord's Supper, Jesus said, do this in what? Remembrance of me. So that kind of gave me the idea about this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse 23 and following. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I have received of the Lord, this is Paul writing this letter to the church that was in Corinth, Greece at that time. I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped or when he had drank, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. Now, keep your place right there looking at that scripture. I was reading from the King James Version of the Bible and that passage. Just keep looking at it, if you will. There's a paraphrase of the Bible called The Message. Some of you all like it and some of you hate it. Some people are... they don't care. Our son John David, who lives in Colorado, has taken a trip to Oregon this week to visit the one that wrote The Message. And we're so excited because they're going to do a revision of it. And John may get the job of having, along with another lady, the privilege of revising it. And so what I'm excited about is John said, Daddy, maybe I'll get enough money. We got kids going to college. I said, John, I hope. But anyway, he's so excited about going to Oregon this week to meet Eugene Peterson, who did The Message. It became a bestseller all over the world, and they probably are going to revise it, and maybe John will have a part in that. Now, I said all this to tell you what John's doing. I always do that too, and I'm proud of him. But also, I want to read that passage. Look in your Bible. Look in your King James. Because I think this is pretty neat. It's not a translation. It's just a running paraphrase. But beginning in verse 23. This is what Eugene Peterson, if he was standing up here as the preacher, he'd be doing the same thing. Let me go over with you again exactly what goes on in the Lord's Supper. And why it is so centrally important. I received my instructions from the Master himself. And passed them on to you. The Master, Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, took bread. Having given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, broken for you. This do to remember me. After supper, he did the same thing with the cup. This cup is my blood, my new covenant with you. Each time you drink this cup, remember me. What you must solemnly realize is that every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, and again you reenact in your words and actions the death of the Master Jesus, you will be drawn back to this meal again and again until the Master returns. You must this is what I like. You must never let familiarity breed contempt. This do to remember me. I like that. That's what it says. And I like Peterson's idea. Do not ever do it. And do not let familiarity breed contempt. What does that mean? You get so used to it that it's just a matter of habit. It no longer means anything to you. And after a while, you're doing it just because you're doing it. It doesn't really mean anything to you. And after a while, you get tired of it and wish you didn't have to do it at all. And it breeds contempt. Boy, I could preach a sermon on that about marriage, about teaching in school, about playing sports and everything else, couldn't I? That familiarity breeds contempt. And we take things for granted. So I like the idea. We need to always remember why we're doing the Lord's Supper and never let it breed contempt when we do it. Now, I don't know what Brother Ben Jones is preaching down at Mineral Springs today. Probably a good sermon. He always has a good sermon, I hear. But I've thought about what we remember about Jesus. And before we take the Lord's Supper or communion or whatever you may call it today, doesn't matter the word what you call it, really. What do we need to remember about Jesus? Well, the first thing I was thinking of was we need to remember the birth of Jesus, right? Amen? We've just gone through Christmas and we know that that was all about the birth of Christ. We need to never forget the wonder of His birth. I helped Miss Anna this week and we took down every sign of Christmas. We even missed a few and she said, "Oh, we got to go back. We missed one in yonder." Hey, I missed one in the bedroom. I noticed this morning, honey, we forgot one. But all of you who put away Christmas, and we did here in the church, I guess we just about got rid of all the decorations that were here last Sunday. Well, we do that, you know, because we're going on to something else. New Year's, and then soon it'll be Valentine's Day and all that sort of thing. But there's some things that we ought not to forget and take down that are associated with Christmas, right? We need to remember the birth of Christ. Let's don't ever, ever forget why He came. The Bible says He came to save us. The angel said He shall save His people from their sins. Joy to the world. The Savior has come. Always remember that. Then secondly, we remember His baptism. My, we had a beautiful baptism up here just the other day. We were so thrilled to see those young ladies baptized. I'm looking forward to the next time. I hope it's next Sunday or the next Sunday. Maybe some of you are thinking about that. Maybe it'll be you. Nothing thrills my heart as much as to baptize someone in the name of the Lord Jesus. We have two ordinances in the church. One is the Lord's Supper and the second is baptism. There are only two. Southern Baptists believe. We believe that. Thrilled about the baptism of Jesus. You see, Jesus came to the Jordan River. He was baptized by His cousin, John the Baptist. Such an important time. I have a niece out in Canadian, Texas. Her mother told us this recently. All that Emily, and she's a junior or senior in high school out there in Canadian. Boy, they won state, I think, in football. They got to, anyway. And our nephew is on the team, by the way, out there in Canadian. But said, Emily, Brother David said, or Uncle David, they call me. Said, Emily has one request, one thing that she has in her mind. She wants someday to go to Israel and be baptized in the Jordan River, and she wants Uncle David to do it. Now, folks, I've never been to Israel yet and may not get to go. I don't know how I'm going to put her off. I thought, what a wonderful thing that she actually wants me to do that. I never dreamed, and her folks didn't know that either. That's her wish. That's on her bucket list. She wants to be baptized in the Jordan River and wants Uncle David to baptize her. Man, I think that would be wonderful. Nearly everybody goes to Israel, gets baptized, Even if they've been baptized two or three times, they always want to be baptized again in the Jordan. And if I went over there, I guarantee you, I'd want to be too. Just to say that I'd been baptized in the same spot, in the same water. Well, not same water, I guess. It's already flowed by 2,000 years ago. But I think that'd be so neat. I would want to do that if I went. So maybe Emily and I, if we get Miss Anna to go, I don't know about that. Remember the baptism of Jesus. Remember the miracles of Jesus. Oh my. All the wonderful miracles that he performed. We were praying about Kim's son and his wife and the little baby. And as we were praying this morning, you know, it's so serious, Kim, isn't it? But as I was praying, I thought, if something happened and that turned out okay, it would be a miracle. From all that the doctors told them this week, it would be an absolute 100% miracle. And I don't ever know how to pray in all those situations. I do believe God is God. I believe he is the God of miracles. I believe he does the same thing yesterday, today, and forever, that what he did back then he can still do. But I also understand that sometimes those miracles don't happen in the same way today. But that would be a miracle. And I guess we would keep on praying until the day comes to see whether God did a miracle or not. It'd be wonderful. He's the God of miracles. We remember his death upon the cross of Calvary. What began in a manger of wood ended on a cross made out of wood. Jesus died there, and we remember him, and we remember his death. We remember his sacrifice. The Bible says that he died not for himself, but he died for us. He died for me. He died for you. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And we always teach our children when they're small that they can put their name in there. For God so loved David. For God so loved Tony. For God so loved Dalton, or whatever name you want to insert, you can put your own name there. For God so loved me and you that he gave Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the last thing that I would remember about Jesus is his second coming. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, "Do this, keep on doing this as often as you do it until I come back again, until the end comes." And we're looking for the coming of Christ. The new year always gives us the idea, maybe it's this year. Maybe it's this year. These Jewish people, these Orthodox Jewish people, you know, when they do the Passover and the Seder and all of that, someone always says at the Passover, "Is Messiah going to come this year? Is Messiah going to come this Passover?" And for 2,000 years, at every Passover, they have been saying, "Is this the day Messiah is coming?" Of course, we understand that the whole Jewish nation missed him when he came. The Bible says Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's the Jewish nation, received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. And so we could well say, when we observe the Lord's Supper today, we could say, "Reckon he's going to come? Reckon he's going to come? They think he's going to come at Passover someday." We say, is he going to come today? Is he going to come this year? He could. And the main truth that we need to gain from this is, oh, I hope that we're ready when he comes. May we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for the wonderful privilege that we have to observe the Lord's Supper, your supper, the one you instituted, the one you founded, the one you started. Father, I pray that as we partake here of the bread and the cup, that we will do so remembering you, remembering all that you are, all that you were, all that you will be forever throughout all eternity. I pray that you'll speak to us as we eat the bread and remember your body, as we drink the wine in the cup and remember the blood that was shed for us. Lord, you can speak. You do speak. You speak through your word. You speak through your spirit. And I pray that today, as we observe this wonderful time, that you will speak to us individually and collectively as the body, the church. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.